quickened in spirit, because still natural men, the disciples could not comprehend spiritual things until Pentecost. It was necessary, therefore, that Jesus' resurrection should be humanly demonstrated. Only believers could receive the Pentecostal illumination. They must believe and know also that he is no longer a man, but again a spirit being. The third day after Calvary, the women who carried embalming spices found the sepulchre empty. Mary met Jesus, but knew him not, for he appeared as a gardener. Jesus revealed himself by his voice. He said, I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. The news spread. St. Peter and St. John were amazed and both ran to the sepulchre. They saw nothing but the vacant tomb and the folded clothes. Later, the same day, two of them journeyed to Emmaus. They were conversing eagerly when Jesus, in another form, unrecognized by them, joined them. He quietly explained to them the types and prophecies which foretold Jesus' death as man's redeemer, saying, Thus it behooved Messiah to suffer and to enter into his glory. Telling the experience afterward, they said, Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way and opened unto us the scriptures? At their evening meal, he revealed himself and vanished. The same evening, many of them were gathered in the upper room discussing the remarkable events of the day, the doors being shut, yea, bolted for fear of the Jews. Suddenly, while the doors were still shut, Jesus appeared in their midst, still differently. This time he appeared like his former self. Even this affrighted them, though he told them that what they saw was flesh and blood, and proved it by eating. He was no longer the fleshly Jesus. In his resurrection, he returned to the spirit condition. But he had power to materialize as the holy angel, and himself, before made flesh, had done. St. Thomas the Doubter. On the following Sunday, Jesus again appeared in the upper room, St. Thomas being present. He had rebuked his brethren for being too easily convinced that they had seen Jesus, and said that he would not believe unless he felt the print of the nails and the spear wounds. Jesus appeared again in a body like that of his humiliation, with the marks of the spear and the print of the nails. He urged Thomas to be convinced, but told of still greater blessings for those who without those proofs were able to fully believe. The Bible tells that Jesus is no longer flesh, but a spirit being since his resurrection. As St. Paul declares, the church must all be changed, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We must all be changed, that we may be spirit beings like him, which surely means that he is no longer flesh. He was put to death in flesh and quickened in spirit, writes St. Peter. Jesus appeared to his followers three times on his resurrection day and five times more during the succeeding 39 days, briefly. This was a part of the great lesson that Jesus was no longer dead and no longer flesh, that he is highly exalted. Saul of Tarsus caught a glimpse of the risen, glorified Jesus, unveiled by flesh, shining above the brightness of the sun at noonday, and the brief glimpse cost him his eyesight. If Jesus had thus appeared to his disciples during the 40 days after his resurrection, they would have been alarmed, bewildered, unable to comprehend the matter. St. Paul refers to his glimpse of Jesus, saying, He was seen of me as one born before the time. His words are explained to mean that all of God's people, the church of the firstborn, are to be born into spirit condition by their resurrection. Thus changed, they will see Messiah as he is in his great glory. But Saul saw him before the time. The Pentecostal rest. Pentecost, the 50th day, was the Jubilee day, as the 50th year was the Jubilee year. The 50th day followed a Sabbath day cycle, as the Jubilee year followed a Sabbath year cycle. As the antitype of the Jubilee year, we'll usher the world into the glorious rest in Messiah's kingdom and in the new covenant relationship with God. So the antitype of the Jubilee day ushered believers into a rest of faith at Pentecost. So St. Paul explains, we who believe do enter into rest. All truly Christ are enabled to keep a Sabbath rest of faith and trust all the time. Not merely on the seventh day or on the first day. Every day to them is a rest by faith in Christ's sacrifice. A Sabbath to the soul, for shadow of heavenly rest. None could enter into this true Sabbath rest until Jesus had opened the way. His death was necessary as man's ransom price. His resurrection was necessary to enable him to apply that price on our behalf. He ascended on high, there to appear in the presence of God as the advocate for his disciples. He imputes his merit to cover their imperfection and to make their sacrifice acceptable to God, that they may suffer with him and be glorified with him. For the faithful there remaineth a rest still more complete, to be attained in their resurrection change. Under Jesus' direction, the apostles, his followers, were not to begin their work until they received the Pentecostal blessing, the Holy Spirit, the evidence of their acceptance as sons of God. The only thing they did during that time before their own acceptance was the choosing of a successor for Judas' place. But evidently, God never recognized their choice. In his own due time, God brought forth St. Paul to be the 12th apostle, one of the 12 foundation stones of the New Jerusalem. The error of supposing apostolic succession in the church's bishops was a costly one. It led to many grievous errors.